this morning from God's Word upon the subject of the idea, God's plans are hard to figure out. Some of God's plans are hard to figure out. Have you ever been to a point in a place in your heart and your life where you ask yourself the question, Lord, what are you doing? Why am I in this circumstance or that situation? The things that are happening. What we find here in the book of Ruth, as we shared last week about having a second chance to start our lives over in the Lord. And we heard about a man by the name of Elimelech. And Elimelech just means, my God is king. So that says a lot about his name. When he is named a name that means, my God is king. What about your God? Is he king? Is he Lord of lords? Then his wife's name was Naomi. And her name just simply meant she is pleasant to be with. Pleasant to be with. They had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Mahlon meant sickness. Chilion meant weakly. Weakly, he was born sick. And he had a struggle the days of his life. A famine come up in the land. Famine is when you find yourself in need. They needed rain to produce crops they didn't get, and crops didn't come, and food wasn't there for the animals or for the people. They went through a tough time in their hearts and their lives. Famines for you and I might not be dry weather, crop failure, barns empty. It might be some struggle in our lives that we're going through and dealing with in our hearts and our lives concerning those things and what's happening. See, they're in Israel. What did God say about, tell Moses about the land he's going to give them? It's a land that was what? Flowing with milk and honey. Prosperous. Good land. After 40 years of wandering around out there in that wilderness, having a little manna morning and evening, once in a while a little quail would come along and they'd have a little meat. But most of the time, life for them out there was a struggle. And sometimes in my life, in your life, things come our way that we can't see any other way but to see that it's a struggle. It's a struggle. So many times I hear people saying things like, it's a struggle to make ends meet now. With all the difficulties that's going on in our hearts and our lives and the things that's happening. But you remember how that Naomi, whenever Elimelech loaded their wagon with all of their possessions, put the two boys on the wagon, and she and her husband heads out to go down to Moab. Now Moab, Moabitish people, hated Jews, the Christian people. And remember when Moses was trying to lead them and get them down to the promised land and all, and they needed to go through the land of Moab, and the Moabitish people refused. The leadership said, no, you ain't going this way, and it caused them another struggle to have to go another way to get to where God wanted them to be in their hearts and their lives. Sometimes you and I, there's obstacles placed in our way that you and I are caused to have to go another way. do a different way, have a different struggle in our hearts and our lives. But Naomi, she sat up on that wagon, all her possessions, her sons and her husband, and she's waving goodbye to all of her friends, all of her family. I imagine old Satan put an idea in her mind, something like, you can sit up there and stay here and starve to death, or you can go with us down to Moab. But after a few years in Moab, what happened? Her husband died, and both her sons died. She had left with two daughters, Ruth and Oprah. Oprah chose to go back to her home and to her people to start her life over again in her native land. But Ruth made a vow. And she said to Naomi, where thou, he said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I'll go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge, and thy people shall be my people. But this is the most important part about what Ruth told Naomi. She said, thy God shall be my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Ruth was committed to her mother-in-law. To go into a foreign land, being a Moabitish lady, knowing that the Jews despise them. Despite all of that, she swore allegiance to her mother-in-law. Fortunately, her mother-in-law was a godly, godly lady. And even though she found herself in despair, she said, the only thing that I can do is go back home to my people. As she made her way back, Ruth committed herself to go with her. And as they enter into Bethlehem, coming back into the city, people began to look and see, who's these two ladies coming? As they get closer and the people come out into the streets and they watch them and they see them, they also discover, my, look who that is. That's Naomi. That's Naomi. Naomi said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Mara. Mara means bitter. She said, I went out full. I waved goodbye to all of you, and I said to all of you, stay in, starve to death if you want to. Me and my honey's going to take the boys, and we're going down to Moab. Sometimes the plans and the choices that we make ain't the right thing to do. And in this case, you know, I'm sure Elimelech thought that he was doing the right thing. And I'm sure that Naomi had all the confidence in the world in her honey to protect her and care for her and the boys. But she never envisioned that he could die and her two sons could die and she'd be left with two daughter-in-laws. But you know, some of God's plans are just hard to figure out. What's God up to? What's he doing? But the thing that impressed me the most about Naomi was the fact that she instilled into her daughter-in-law, Ruth, the one true God. Moabitish people didn't believe in God. Serena didn't like the Jews, the things that's happening. But I'll give you a hint now as to where this goes in a little bit. And that hint is simply this. By Naomi and by Ruth trusting God and believing that he had a plan for their lives, Naomi picks up on that real fast and stuff. it sets the stage for her to be married to Boaz. And from there, Ruth would become the great-grandmother of King David years down the road. Sometimes things that's happening today, it may take years for us to see the plan fulfilled and God's work accomplished. But we can know this, God doesn't give up on us. We give up on God if we're not careful. I want you to listen and see what happens here in chapter 2. It said, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Boaz was a relative of her husband's. He wasn't the next of kin. There was one closer to kin than him. And the scripture says his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitish said unto Naomi, let me now go to the fields and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. When they got back to town, they still didn't have any groceries. Still didn't have the means of survival. So Ruth says to her mother-in-law, who's well in age now and not able to go glean in the fields, let me go, and wherever I can find grace in someone's eyes, I will glean and get us something to eat. Her mother-in-law said, go. How gracious should she be? You ever think about Ruth, where she's at here? See, they go out into the field, and the workers are out there, and they chop down the corn or the barley or the wheat or whatever, wrap it in bundles. These women, young ladies, comes behind. They pick it up, bring it out, put it on the wagon and stuff, and they're given orders by the rule of their land that they're to leave the outer edges for the poor and needy. And that's where she wanted to go, is to find a place where she could glean and find something for them to happen. Now watch what happens in verse 3. We're going to start putting God's plan together. He's got them back home. He's going to provide for them now. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. She came out the next morning, bright and early. She went down, she found a field. Listen what the scripture says about it. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz. It just so happened that she found a field that belonged to Boaz. How many of you think that's an incident? I don't. I think it's divine guidance of the Lord to direct her where they go. And the scripture says the field belonged to Boaz, who was of the kin of Elimelech. Then I like verse 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. Behold, out of all the times and places that he could come to check on his reapers and see how the harvest was going, it just so happened it was the next day. How many of you think that was an accident? See God putting his plan together? Some of God's plans are hard to understand. When he saw her, he said to his reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him and said, the Lord bless thee. First thing he did is he prayed for his workers. And his workers blessed him, thanked him for what he was doing, shows his godliness in his heart. And then the scripture says that he said, The Lord be with you. Then said Boaz unto his servants, what was said over the reapers? Whose damsel is this? There's a stranger in his field. And this stranger happens to be a pretty Moabitish woman. And he asks, who is this? And the servants that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel. Came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray thee, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued, even from the morning unto now, except that she tarried a little in the house. She got here early. She asked permission to glean. She worked to lunch. She took a little break, went into the shade of the shelter that was provided there. And from there, she went back to work and worked till dark, getting things cared for in her heart and her life. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest not thou? Hearest thou not, my daughter? Pay attention. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. You don't worry about where your next meal is coming from. You've got an open invitation at any time to come into my fields and glean behind my workers. And he said in verse 9, that I have charged the young men that they shall not touch thee. And when thou art athirst, go into the vessel and drink of that which the young men have drawn. As she comes to meet Boaz for the first time, what does she find? A man with open arms. To do what? Care for the needs of this widow. Do you remember why he did this? When they came back into town after being down in Moabitish country, and the people of the city began to come out and look around and see him and finally recognize that it's Naomi and she's got someone with her. You remember what they said? It's not Naomi. Look at her. Her sandals are worn. Her dress is a disgrace. She's lost so much. She's just pitiful. She's pitiful. Starving to death. And that Moabitish woman is with her. But you know what Boaz saw? Listen to what he says. She fell on her face in verse 10 and bowed herself to the ground and said to him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger or I am a foreigner? I'm a Moabitish woman. She fell on her face, bowed herself to the ground. In humility, she humbled herself. And she asked the question, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger, I'm a foreigner? Have you ever stopped to think upon yourself like she did? Lord, why have I found grace? What is grace? God's unmerited favor and for you and I, in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us on that cross. Lord, what have I ever done? When I look back on the 72 years that God has been a part of my life, I've been a part of his. I often wonder, what I ever do, that God would bless me so. The house that I have, the family that I got, the vehicle I drive, the blessings that I have, you know, God has provided for me, my heart and my life. And it all began way back yonder when he didn't give up on me. And he kept on till I surrendered my life to him. And then I surrendered to the ministry he had plans for me to be a part of. Why have I found grace in thy eyes? Here's Boaz's answer, verse 11. It hath fully been showed unto me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of the nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. What'd she do? Boaz said, I have heard, and it has been showed unto me, all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law. She could have did like Oprah. She could have turned around and whenever Naomi got outside the gates of the city and encouraged them to go back, start your life over, go back to your parents. You're young, you're beautiful. You'll have an opportunity to start your life over. But she committed herself to care for that dear lady, you know, her heart and her life. And he said, it's been showed me all that thou's done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and your mother and the land of your nativity, where you came from, where you were born and raised, and you come unto a people that knowest not heretofore. She didn't know, being a Moabitish girl, how the Jew was going to accept her. But what did Boaz do? He opened his arms, took her in to his possession. Listen what it says in verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work. Word recompense just means to repay. And a full reward is to be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given to thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Naomi, you could say here, hardly did a thing, but she did the most important thing. By the example that she lived and the life that she had trusted to the Lord, she was able to live a life in front of her daughter-in-law, Ruth, that caused Ruth to leave the God of the Moabitish and accept the God of the Jewish people, trust the Lord as her Savior. Most important thing in anyone's life is how they stand in their relationship with the Lord. And he said to her, may the Lord repay thy works, and you will receive a full reward to be given to thee of the Lord. Now let's break that down to the day and the time of Naomi and Ruth. Elimelech and Boaz. And let's put it down to today, Sunday morning. Shady and Bexley Baptist Church. I ain't in Shady Grove. I'm going back home. Listen what he said. a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. What he saw in the life, she saw in the life of her mother-in-law, convinced her that the one true God was the God of Israel. And she accepted the Lord's will for her heart and her life and what was happening unto her. If you go on and you look in that chapter, you'll find in that chapter there, as it moves on, how Boaz instructs his people to deal with her in her heart and her life, and to allow her to be accepted. You know, there's times and places in our hearts and our lives where we need to come to a realization. The only thing that really matters is our relationship with our God. Because none of us know the day or the hour when the Lord's going to call us home. We're going to give an account of ourselves and our hearts and our lives. What a difference. We don't know what happened to Ophrah. She went back to her parents. She started her life over. It might have been a good life. It might have been a godly life. I don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us that. All it tells us is what we need to know. And that's how to know that we know that we know that we're a child of God in our hearts and our lives. How did Ruth come to a realization that her mother-in-law's God was the one true God? I can tell you how she knew. She watched the example of her mother-in-law. She saw in Naomi. Even Naomi was hurt. She lost everything. Her pride, everything was gone. She never gave up on her God, you know. She held on to the one thing that mattered the most. Sometimes you and I are put to the test. And we're caused to go through some famine in our times, some heartache and some troubles and some trials and some afflictions and pain and suffering and hurt, the devil after us and all those things that we're dealing with in our hearts and our lives. My encouragement to you this morning is don't give up. Don't give up. Watch. See what God's doing and join him. Be a part of it. He's got a plan, a purpose for every one of our hearts and our lives. Are we looking to see what that plan is? Or are we doing what we think's best in our lives? Follow that example of the Lord. Sometimes the path God leads us down is hard to understand. But listen to me. He don't make any mistakes. He knows what he's doing. He loves you. He loved me. And he's going to see us are taken care of. Father, as we bow in your presence right now, we come to you, Lord, realizing some of us have been through some pretty tough things. We've had some real famine where the hurt was so great, the loss was so bitter, that if we were not careful, we could be a little bit angry. But God, when we look at your overall plan for our lives, and know that one day all this hurt, all this famine, all this bitterness, all that's going to be cashed in. When we receive that home you have prepared for us. When we stroll down that street of gold through those gates of pearl and touch those walls of jasper. And we see your face to face. Oh, it'll be worth it all. it'll be worth it all. As you search our hearts this morning, Lord, I pray, Lord, if there's one here this morning that has been through a tough time, they've been trying to understand your plan for their life, why they're doing what they're doing at this very time in their hearts and their lives, that God, they'll come to a realization, God's trying to move me from where I am to where he wants me to be. And we'll either go with him or we'll resist him. We'll be a Ruth or we'll be an Oprah. We'll go back to our old ways. But I trust, Lord, if there's one here this morning that's never been a Ruth, never ask you, Lord, to forgive them of their sins, save their soul, and God, you'll speak to their hearts this morning. Lord, for those that are struggling, finding themselves closer and closer to famine in the life of their hearts, life of their families, the devil's trying to do everything he can to destroy them. Help them to know, God, that you care enough that you died for them. As we go into this time of invitation, speak to our hearts. These altars are open. We feel a famine coming on, a real struggle. Come and kneel and pray. Don't know him as Lord and Savior. Would you come, let Brother Larry pray with you about that? Ask the Lord to forgive you your sins and save your soul. Give you that home in heaven. Whatever the decision is you need to make, it's between you and God. I'm just here to help you see what God has planned for you. Forgive us now is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Ernie, what we're going to sing?
Near to the heart of God.
Let's stand together.